If things look confused on Capitol Hill, that's because they are. From failure of the farm bill to a tong war over rescission, things aren't pretty. For a look at the legislative week ahead, David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call. And David, they're running out of time for whatever work they have to do before Memorial Day. Is the farm bill the biggest thing that's going to occupy Congress, do you think, this week?
As you and I are talking, I think the leadership is still not sure whether they have the magic formula to put that farm bill back before the House and get it passed. It was roundly defeated last week because, it was attacked more or less on all sides, or at least on a significant number of sides. Conservative Republicans didn't like it because they wanted to hold it hostage to their conservative approach to immigration. How immigration and the farm bill are related is a bit tenuous. Moderate Republicans, same thing. They were trying to hold it hostage to immigration, and then no Democrats at all liked it because the central tenet of this farm bill would be increasing the worker requirements for people that get food stamps.
So basically, this is the three-party phenomenon all over again.
That's right. We've talked about this before. That there is even at a time where we say Congress is polarized, Republicans against Democrats. It's really more complicated than that because the Republicans are factionalized into at least two, if not three, parties. The sort of pro-business conservatives, the hardline Freedom Caucus, and then this small group of, I guess we'd now sort of call them pro-immigration liberalization Republicans, people from suburban districts in the Sun Belt, especially, who think that the Republican Party really needs to liberalize its immigration policies, go the opposite way from Donald Trump, and get this immigration problem, the DACA problem at least, solved before the election. Otherwise, they're all going to lose.
So where does this leave the Agriculture Department and some of its programs at this point?
Running in place, really. This is not the inability to pass a farm bill, unlike some other bills where if you don't pass, there are agencies have to sort of seize up and stop doing things and have sort of mini shutdown type of behavior. The farm bill is not written that way, so that the USDA and the FDA and the other agencies that are controlled by the farm bill just sort of keep chugging along, but they can't do anything differently.
All right, so Sonny Perdue then can maybe go ahead with some of his internal reorganizations and that he's been working on, but apparently he doesn't need congressional authority for some of them.
Correct. That's right. So there are things that the secretary can do on his own authority, and Perdue will keep doing them. The main things that are governed by the farm bill are food aid, food stamps, SNAP, they call it now, and commodity pricing, commodity subsidy policies. But there are plenty of internal organization stuff at the USDA that does not require a congressional seal of approval.
Sure. And also on the budget front, there's this tug of war over rescission, with the White House wanting to take back or claw back money that Congress has appropriated. And this
right.
looks like it's shaping up to occupy them a lot.
It does. It is a politically, symbolically important, but substantively unimportant proposal. What the Congress is talking about here is clawing back $15 billion over the next 10 years. Which sounds almost inappropriate to say that this is not a large amount of money, but in the grand scheme of the federal government, it is not a large amount of money. And the CBO itself, the Congressional Budget Office, put out a study, I guess it was a week ago now, that said that the savings, in this budget year would be just a couple of $100 million. It would have no appreciable effect on deficit reduction over the next 10 years, because much of the money that they wanted so-called claw back is money that had been sort of parked and wasn't being spent anyway. So symbolically important, but in terms of actually making a dent on a deficit that has ballooned since the tax bill went through and since Congress itself raised spending caps, is pretty minimal.
Sounds like the poor country cousin of the line item veto.
That's a good way of putting it. Yes, and the line item veto, for those with long memories, didn't live long before the Supreme Court said they couldn't, that the line item veto, as imposed, back 20 years ago now, was was unconstitutional.
Yeah, presidents can dream, I guess, about this kind of thing. We're speaking with David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call. And this whole issue, you know, as we talked about, the Farm Bill held up with immigration. And yet, is any action happening in Congress with respect to immigration other than a lot of hot air between them and the administration?
Well, there is sort of some action, I would guess you'd call it, which is that, and I think I can do this in just two sentences, which is that we talked a couple of minutes ago about the sort of pro-immigration reform, for lack of a better word, Republicans, they are trying to use this unusual maneuver, which is, it's called a discharge petition. That's the name you hear, the term you hear bandied about, which is a way to essentially gather signatures on a petition to force the leadership to do something it says it doesn't want to do. And if an outright majority of the House signs one of these petitions, then the leadership is forced to at least put a bill on the floor that they might not want to do. So these progressive Republicans, these pro-immigration Republicans, I think there are now 20 of them. They need five more to band together with all the Democrats to essentially compel the leadership to put a series of immigration bills on the floor. What these people are proposing is that they have sort of a wide open debate in which the conservatives get their votes and to try and do nothing but border security and the wall. And then the Democrats and their Republican allies who want to fix DACA would get their votes, and whoever got the most votes would win. So there's something bubbling up. The leadership is trying to doesn't like these discharge petitions because the leadership wants to lead and they want to have control of the agenda. And at a minimum, what they're saying is, if we're going to do this, they want it to happen later in the summer. It's certainly not going to happen before Memorial Day. Next week is Memorial Day week. Congress is out. Then they're back for, I guess, the weeks between then and July 4th. Then they're out again. Then they're back for a few weeks. Then they're out for all of August.
And what about the prospects for Mr. Wilkie becoming the VA secretary? This is the name that over the weekend the president said he would nominate and joked about spoiling the surprise. But Wilkie is in place as acting
secretary. It seems that at first blush that the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee put out some statements that the chairman, Johnny Isaacson, Republican from Georgia, that were supportive or at least accepting of this nomination. So nominations, it takes a while in the current Congress or in the current Senate for any Trump nominee to be assured of smooth sailing, because it's such a tight Senate and there are Democrats are opposed. Some Democrats are opposed to almost anybody that the president would nominate for anything. But at first blush, it seems as though Mr. Wilkie is well positioned.
I also wanted to ask you about, of all things, North Korea, simply because this is something that seems to be embroiling the administration during certain days, during certain moments. Is Congress pretty much just an observer in all of this? Because there's no treaty, there's nothing really.
Correct. I think Congress is not really part of this process, except the most they can do is what they are doing, which is staying quiet and hoping that the president can sort of defy conventional wisdom and that this summit actually takes place and that he is actually able to extract something productive. So really the work that they need to do, Congress, is to, and this is truly a presidential executive power thing, this is a presidential thing, and this is when sort of partisanship needs to stop at the water's edge, which is an old cliche. They just need to hush up and see what happens.
But it looks like there's more State Department involvement. It seems like the president has more faith in Mike Pompeo than he did in Rex Tillerson.
That certainly seems true at first blush. And obviously what Mr. Tillerson did last week only with his speech, his graduation speech about telling lies and being truthful in government only served to underscore why the president was probably happy to have him go.